It's Charlie Daniels. The devil went up to God. He was looking for a soul to steal. He was in a bind because he was way behind, and he was looking to make a deal. I don't know how many of you know that song, but the devil went down to Georgia. That's clearly expressed in Job. My lesson today is about the devil and kind of simplifying and talking about a few things that the devil is, what he's trying to do, and what we can expect, and how we can protect ourselves against him. The devil exists, and he is real. Job, the first chapter, clearly says that. He says in Job, the first chapter, that the angels presented themselves before God, and the devil came with them. And he presented himself, and he said that he had been walking to and fro amongst the earth, and that, you know, it seemed like he was rather smug. And God said, "Well, have you considered my servant Job? Now, there's no one like him on earth." So it's not that Job was the norm, he was the exception to the rule. But he says, "Have you noticed no one like him on earth?" And I was like, "Well, of course not. You've given him everything he could have. You've got a protective fence around him, and if he wasn't protected, if you'd allow things to happen to him, well, he'd be mine." And God said, "Well, go ahead, but don't harm hair on his head." And then, of course, later, when that didn't work, Satan says, "Well, if you let me physically harm him, that would work too." And, of course, it did not. But the interesting thing I noticed in this passage is that Satan, who seems to oppose God, has to get God's permission. It's very clear about that. But it's also clear in this passage that his mission, what he wants to do, is to make people sin. That's the simple, straightforward answer. Satan wants to get people to sin. Now, how many people think Genesis chapter 3 about the fall of mankind and the serpent is about Satan? It doesn't actually ever say that, but I don't know how it could be any more clear that it was Satan. And so from the very first time, the third chapter of the very first book of the Bible, the devil pops up and he approaches Eve. What was his methodology?
He lied.
Yeah. He lied. What do we know about Satan? If there's one thing you should know about Satan, is he lies. He lies. In Genesis chapter 3, he says, "Did God really say that you couldn't eat of that tree?" In fact, he said, he actually posed it a little bit crooked. He said, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" When he knew good and well that God didn't say that. But you know, he went, "Oh no, we can eat most of the trees, but we just can't eat that one." He said, "If we do, we'll die." What was Satan's reply? "You won't die. You will not surely die. He just doesn't want you to know everything that he does." Was that truth? Did Eve die?
She did eventually.
You will die. But Satan lied. And that is his nature all the way down the line, is that he will lie.
And he used pleasure to do that also, along with Mm-hmm.
Well, I have down here, he used lies, he uses deceit, he appeals to people through, we call it, you know, the pride of life and the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye. But he lies. And in John chapter 8, Jesus was talking to the Pharisees. They claimed to be, you know, Abraham's children and all those things. And Jesus, it's about as strong a language as he uses anywhere in the Bible. He said to the Pharisees, "You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there's no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies." That's stern. And that's what he told the Pharisees, "You are serving the devil, the father of lies." He also appeals to people, tries to get them to sin through deceit. How does he deceive people? He makes things look good that are bad. You know, people do that with drugs. They push drugs. They tell you you're going to feel good if you use this. They tell you you'll feel great. That your parents just don't want you to know, but this is cool stuff and it's not going to bother you. And you take it and you become an addict and you ruin your life and your teeth fell out. It's all of that. He uses deceit to make you think that what you're doing will be good for you when it won't be. One of the main reasons, main ways that he uses his deceit is in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul mentions that the people falling for false doctrine, people falling for things that aren't true but appear to be righteous. And he says that these such people are false apostles, deceitful workers, masquerading as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. It is not surprising then if his servants also masquerade as servants of righteousness. Their end will be what their actions deserve. Yep, Satan appears holy. Why do you think there's so many religions? The devil doesn't care which one you go to so long as it isn't the true church. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 7 through 12, I'm going to read part of it. We'll actually get back to that a little bit later, but the part I want to read now talks about a lawless one who will come. And in this passage, he says, "The coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with how Satan works. He will use all sorts of displays of power through signs and wonders that serve the lie, and all the ways that wickedness deceives those who are perishing. They perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved." So, through deceit, through lies, through appealing to men's vanity, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, Satan attempts to accomplish his mission of causing us to sin. Now, I've got just a little bit of a math lesson that I'd like to go over. There's 7.888 billion people on this world. That's the nearest guess right now. Now, for those of you that are higher math students, that's 7,888 million people. Of those people, approximately 2.38 billion are Christians in the world. Now, that would be, they could call themselves Christians because they follow Christ. That is the number one religion in the world, 31%. But of those 2.something billion, there's recognized as being approximately 2 million Church of Christ members. That seems like a lot, 2 million. But when you hold it up against 7,888 million, that 2 million becomes a fraction of a percent. Anybody know what it is? 0.0025. So it's 99.975% of the world's population that Satan doesn't have to bother with. 7,886 billion people, or 7,886 million people. He doesn't have to worry about. I said that wrong.
You keep saying 7.
I know, I keep saying it wrong. 7,886 million people that he doesn't have to worry about. It's 7.8 billion, but it's 7,886 million people he doesn't have to worry about. 2 million that he does. Out of 7,886,000 he doesn't worry about, he's only got 2 million to worry about. If there's 2 million people, it's 0.025%, a quarter of a tenth of a percent that he's got to worry about. That's so small. When it says that many will seek salvation and few will find it, 2 million is few. And that's just today's population. Don't even try and go back over all the past generations and how many percentage, if you took that same ratio, and it just is infinitesimal, the amount of people that are actually the target of Satan's actions. And that's the part I want to look at, is to realize that I don't know how many demons, how many helpers Satan has, but he has a very small target population. And we will be tempted, and we will be tried, and we will have things thrown at us to try and get us to slip up. So what should we do? Well, Jesus resisted the devil and he won. Jesus was taken. Now, in John, when it talks about the temptation, Matthew 4, it says that the Spirit led Jesus into the desert to be tempted to Satan. By Satan. The Spirit doesn't say Satan. Satan didn't go get Jesus and haul him out to the desert for 40 days. The Spirit led Jesus out to the desert. And the devil appeared to him at that time. Jesus has offered us a cloak of protection. And he resisted the devil and he won. He won by using God's word. When God tempted him, Jesus replied with scriptures. And he said, "Get behind me, Satan. You can appeal to me like, hey, if you're really the big man on campus, you could throw yourself off here and I'll worship you. The angels will save you and I'll bow down before you. The world will worship you." Whatever. It was a lie. But Jesus offered God's word to protect him. Now, can we resist the devil and win? No man has been free of sin. So I would say no, we can't. But with the help of Jesus, we can. With the help of his protection. How does Jesus help us? One, his example. Two, his teachings, which I consider his word, which is in the Bible. But there's something else that I think we often forget about, is that the devil, as I mentioned earlier in Job, he is constrained by God. The devil answers to God and is constrained by God. He is restricted in what he can do by God. He had asked God's permission to mess with Job. He wants to it comes down when people talk about, can Satan, you know, physically assault us? Can Satan possess our body? Can a demon inhabit my body and force me to do evil things? Any thoughts on that?
My thought is no, he cannot inhabit our body. And we're also told that we are to resist Satan and he will flee from us. So with God, we are more powerful than Satan.
Okay.
And as you said before, without God, then we are at his mercy.
Yeah, that was James chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. So submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you. If you are a servant of God's, he will protect you. Jason?
Yeah, I would say yes to your first question. I mean, it happens every single day. Whether it's, you know, the original sin or whether it's the environment that we live in, we are attacked physically with colds, illnesses, cancers, just all kinds of stuff, and he does attack our bodies physically. Yeah.
You think that is... I see what you're saying, but it's within limits, right? God constrains Satan and does not allow him to have free realm. He may be able to... I don't know if he inflicts people with illnesses, but it seems... at the very least, that he cannot, against our will, inhabit our bodies in a way such as exorcism, you know, sort type of things. It says that God will protect us, and it was in James chapter 4. We have the power to resist just as Jesus did. Ephesians chapter 6, you know what's in there? The armor of God. And what's it say about it? Our struggle is not against flesh and bone. It's against rulers, against authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand or still be standing. And he says to stand firm with the belt of truth, breastplate of righteousness, feet fitted with readiness that comes from the gospel, and take up the shield of faith, which you can put out the flames of the evil one, or the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pretty well spells it out there. And if we go back now to 2 Thessalonians chapter 7, read a different portion of it for you. In the first part, starting with verse 7, for the secret power of lawlessness is already at work, but the one who now holds it back will continue to do so till he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will overthrow with the breath of his mouth and destroy by the splendor of his coming. So, what's the end? Here it says that the Lord Jesus will overthrow him with the breath of his mouth, he'll destroy him. But it also says, in the sentence before that, that the one who now holds it back will continue to do so until he's taken out of the way. So I believe Satan is constrained and will be constrained or restricted in his power and in what he can do until the end, until it says he is taken out of the way. Now, where does it say that he will be taken out of the way? Where's the end?
Revelation.
Okay. What does it say?
When Christ comes, the Satan will be consumed by the power of his breath, I think. Or
Revelation chapter 12.
Some words to that effect, with the brightness of his coming.
Okay. What I have here was Revelation 12, verses 7 through 9. Then war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, the ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth and his angels with him. So, I think that if we understand that we have the power over Satan with Jesus, with God, to help us when we are tempted, when things do happen, when sin comes into our life. I've known people that were deathly scared of demons and spirits and thinking that they could get inhabited at any moment and that, you know, they would be powerless against Satan should he choose to come at them. And I hope that we can have the courage of knowledge, the courage of knowing that that can't happen to us if we turn to God. God will protect us, as it says there in James. He will hold the devil back, as it says in Thessalonians. He will continue to protect us. And when we do fall short, he will forgive us. So I would like to leave that with you, and I thank you for your time. I hope that if anyone feels that they need the protection of the Lord, that they would come forward at this time.